My friends, today we continue the discussion of the question, is man a sinner by birth or by choice? Are sins inherited? In the former study, we quoted to you the statement from one author who says that sins are inherited, that the sinner is so depraved that he can act only by the enabling grace of God through the Spirit. The necessity of repentance and faith after regeneration is very obvious, he says. This theory of inherent total depravity makes man totally under the power of the devil, with no choice nor ability to reject Satan and obey God. The sinner is so depraved that he cannot act, we're told, except by the enabling grace of God through the Spirit. Beloved, if this religious theory were true, then the Bible is false when it declares, save yourselves from this untoward generation, as you read in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. The Lord was in error when he commanded, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, verse 5. If this theory of total inherited depravity were true, and repentance and faith after regeneration is a necessity, then the Holy Spirit misguided the Apostle Peter when he commanded, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. If a man were already regenerated, why should he be told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, or to be regenerated? How could a person possibly be regenerated without first believing in the Lord? The Bible declares that man cannot please God without faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Therefore, if faith follows regeneration, as affirmed by the advocates of the hereditary total depravity doctrine, then man is regenerated without pleasing God. Furthermore, if this theory were true, then man is regenerated, he is born again, saved from his sins, without ever having repented of his sins. For the false theory claims that repentance and faith are of necessity, and I quote, after regeneration. What a conflict with the command of our Lord when he declared, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Are babies born in sin? How may they be reconciled unto God, if that be the case? If the doctrine of hereditary total depravity were true, man could not be reconciled to God through conversion. Let us consider the matter of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, Paul, the apostle to whom he had been committed, the word of reconciliation, exhorted in these words, be ye reconciled unto God. The word reconcile implies a separation and a reunion. The word means to bring back to harmony. The prefix re means back to an original or former state or position. For example, a husband and wife may become separated, and afterwards they may become reconciled, that is, to be restored to their former relationship. They go back to their state or relationship that existed before the separation. Now, listen to this. Are you listening? Suppose an infant is born in sin, born of the devil. If he ever departs from that state, being a child of the devil, which way could he go? The answer would be, toward God. To depart from the devil is to go toward God. To depart from God is to go toward the devil. Now, what would happen in that case when reconciliation occurs? That is, if the baby is born in sin and he departs from that state. Let us suppose an infant born into this world is a child of the devil, as affirmed by some religious creeds. When he departs from his original state or relationship, the only opposite direction he can go is toward God. Now, if he does receive the word of reconciliation, to whom is he reconciled? There is but one answer. If he is restored to his former relationship, returned to the former or original union, he is brought back to the devil. To preach the word of reconciliation, to restore one to his original state, therefore, would be to make him twice a child of the devil rather than a child of God when the gospel is preached to him and he's converted. This would be the inevitable conclusion if the doctrine of hereditary total depravity were true. This is a false conclusion. Paul, the apostle, declared that God had given to him the ministry of reconciliation, the means of reconciling people unto God through the teaching of the Word of God. The truth of the matter is, every soul, every infant born into this world is born without sin, free from sin, innocent of any guilt of sin, and is in complete and perfect fellowship with God. When, by reason of accountability and his own choice, he sins, he becomes separated from God. Man's own sins separates him from God, as we read in Isaiah 59:2. Man becomes a sinner by reason of transgression, by choice, thus becomes separated from God. When the gospel of Christ, the word of reconciliation, is taught the sinner then, the sinner responds by faith and obedience to the Lord. He becomes reconciled unto God. He is restored to that unity and fellowship with God which existed when he was born into the world. Every man is born a free moral agent and may choose his own destiny. Salvation and reconciliation are in Christ, and man has the choice of becoming a Christian or disobeying God. My friends, perhaps a question of interest to all of us would be, are infants who die lost? Are little children lost who die in infancy? If all infants born into the world are totally sinful, having inherited the sins from their parents, if one dies in infancy, will that child go to heaven or to hell? If an infant is totally depraved and he dies in infancy, his defilement must cause him to be lost in torment or to go to heaven with his defilement and sinful nature. But the advocates of the theory of hereditary total depravity seek to theoretically avoid the dilemma by asserting that elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit who worketh with and where how he pleaseth. Now, my friends, that is a quotation from a confession of faith, affirming that infants are born in sin. Surely the fallacy of such unscriptural reasoning is easily ascertained. Question: what happens to the non-elect infant who dies? Or do only the elect infant die? One or two conclusions is inevitable. The only infants who die are the elect infants, or the non-elect infants who die must spend eternity in hell. Can one truly believe that a sweet, innocent baby must spend eternity in torment? Not I. And the Bible doesn't teach it, my friends. It should furthermore be observed that this theory of the direct operation of the Spirit upon the depraved infant who dies, in order to save the infant from hell, leaves the infant who does not die totally a depraved creature. Is it not strange that this theory claims that Christ, by the Spirit, removes the depraved, sinful nature of the dying infant, but allows the living infants to remain totally depraved? Could one possibly conclude that Christ considered little children to be sinful, even totally depraved, when he publicly blessed them? In Luke 18:15-16, it is recorded, "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." If the doctrine of hereditary sin were true, then Jesus should have said, "Forbid them not, for these little children have corrupt, total, depraved souls, and we must prevail upon the Spirit to burn out their sinful Adamic nature before they die. My friends, no such thing as that is taught in the Bible. The Lord didn't say anything like that. If all these things were true, then Jesus was saying His kingdom was to be composed of subjects wholly and completely defiled, body and soul, totally depraved in sin. Because of little children, He said, of such is the kingdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? The Bible teaches that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. The Bible says nothing about Christ sending the Holy Spirit directly to an infant or to anyone else to save him from his sin. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God to save the believer. Question: could an infant possibly be a believer? The answer is obvious. Could an infant be taught the gospel? No infant is capable of being taught the gospel or believing the gospel. Yet the Bible plainly teaches that these are essential conditions of salvation. To the Romans, Paul wrote, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Romans 10:14. The apostle furthermore wrote to the Corinthians that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now let us reason together. If every person born into the world were born totally depraved, and that by an unchangeable decree, he is foreordained and predestined to be born totally depraved in sin, why should the gospel be preached to him? And how could the gospel be the power of God unto salvation? This is a false theory, ladies and gentlemen. Man is a creature of volition, with a heart to believe or disbelieve. To the man who does choose to believe and obey the gospel, he shall be saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Otherwise, the person who chooses to disobey and disbelieve the gospel, the Lord said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." The Apostle Paul warned concerning Christ's coming and man's choice of his destiny. "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. The theory of hereditary total depravity denies that the gospel of Christ purifies one soul through his obedience to the gospel. The Bible says, as the Apostle Peter declared, "Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Acts 15:7-9. The same apostle declared, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." 1 Peter 1:22. The inspired apostle declared that those who obey the gospel are they who obtain forgiveness of sins and have their souls purified. My friends, thus becoming children of God. In the day of judgment, every individual person will be judged according to his works, not the deeds of Adam, nor the deeds of his parents. The apostle speaks of this conclusively when he wrote, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." 2 Corinthians 5:10. Surely this statement cannot be misunderstood by those who desire the truth. In the day of judgment, every person will be judged according to the deeds done in his body, according to the things he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Obviously, responsible people, those who are responsible persons, must choose their own destiny. In the long ago, Joshua declared, "Choose you this day whom ye shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The question is, ladies and gentlemen, where do you choose to spend eternity? The choice is yours, not by birth, but by choice.